I'll let the helicopter finish what it's doing so I don't have to compete with it. Well, as I said, the sermon is according to St. Luke's Gospel. As we look at the readings today, it kind of reminds me of something. People, when they start to get older, react in so many different... I'll say two really major different ways. In my mom's side of the family, we are blessed with people who it's not uncommon to live 100 years. So in her village, people that are 100 years old are just not rare. And so so you meet people that are this age, and like her grandmother, my old Nana, she lived to be 104. And she loved it. She loved being 100. I was there on her 100th birthday when I was 12. And she loved being 100. She turned 101. She loved being 101. She loved her life. She loved Jesus first and foremost. But she did not mind every wrinkle on her face. She earned it, she said. I earned that wrinkle. That wrinkle was there for this reason, Duguan, she would say, dear one. And then you switch over. My grandpa was 96, and he was done. He was like, ugh, he just knew he's not going to live longer. His knees were blown out. He was a commercial fisherman who had polio when he was a kid. He had one leg shorter than the other. Tough old guy, but boy, he felt like he was done. 96, and he would ask my mother, why do am I still alive? My mom's like, I don't know. And my mom would take care of him, and she went to live with him and care for him, and he would go, I don't know why I'm living so long. And she goes, probably because you're just too ornery to die. And he lived for a while, you know, and so people will look at it, and I'll hear people say funny things as a pastor. I don't know. They tell me funny things, and it's awkward sometimes, because the people I don't even know that well will go, how come I haven't died yet? I'm like, I don't know. Have you thought of tightrope walking? I mean, I don't know. You know, and I just don't understand where this... But you see people, they've lived a life that I don't know. When you reach 100 years, let's just say, let's all agree, you've seen some things. And so you don't know what kind of crosses people are bearing at that age or anything, but when they're waiting on God is what they're telling you. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm coming, Lord, are you coming or what? But you don't know. It's become rather popular with Christians of all ages, at least those old enough to understand what's going on, that those who feel the weight of the crosses they've been even given in this last year, right? But with that in mind, I want to direct your attention to the events we have in our gospel lesson for today. I will caution you that before we jump in, knowing this story as well as we do, unfortunately, we run the risk of glossing over the text and not really interrogating it and wrestling with it, as one of my professors in seminary said to us. What is God trying to teach us here? Being so familiar with this account, we sometimes let our complacency get in the way. Being as impatient as we are, we tend to gloss over and skip to the end, don't we? We fill in the gaps that may exist in our understanding with assumptions. After all, we already know this one. Simeon, baby, yay, Lord, let me depart in peace. End of story. Now, in terms of assumptions, you probably already know where I'm going with this. And that's okay. I don't mind being predictable because it means I'm preaching the same gospel. Let's go over it again because it's good to be reminded. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that Simeon is a very elderly man. We assume it, don't we? We like to assume it. Heh. Look at our bulletin cover. That's no spring chicken we stuck on the cover of our bulletin either. We just assume it. We are told that the time when Mary and Joseph came to the temple, the prophetess Anna was 84. Que Anna, que no spring chicken. But we have no idea how old Simeon was. God didn't tell us. For all we know, Simeon is younger than Mary and Joseph. However, it's far easier to assume that Simeon was old and barely holding on to life until he could get that one fleeting glimpse of the Messiah before being mercifully released in death. We hear Simeon sing about how he can finally depart in peace because he's finally borne witness to God's promised Messiah in the flesh. And we automatically assume that Simeon was no different than my grandpa. That he was like, oh, I'm done. Cash the check. And he seems no different than that type of elderly person. However, God doesn't tell us this. He never tells us how old Simeon is. And why? Because a person's age is not necessarily indicative of their level of faith. An older person doesn't necessarily possess a more mature faith. In fact, your Lord himself says that we should have the faith of a little child, not of old men and old women, and for good reason. You know as well as I do, the more time you spend around fallen and brokenness in this world, the more jaded people can become. We even talked about that in our very strange study we're doing today. That living in a fallen and broken world causes people to behave sometimes contrary to what God says. And then the older they get, sometimes they make a pattern of it. So forget how old or young Simeon may have been. That's not important. Let us focus on his profound expression of faith and trust in God Almighty. In his word. That's what matters. What matters is that Simeon fully believed that God was going to make good on his promise and save his people from their sins through a Savior he would personally send into the world. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, Simeon was promised by God that he would behold the Messiah with his own eyes in his lifetime. Before God would call him home to heaven, Simeon waited for how long? We don't know. Doesn't matter. He waited patiently in faith. He was faithfully patient, trusting that God knew what he was doing and was doing it all according to his divine timeline, working all things for the good of his people. Simeon had faith that God would work this promise and plan when the time was right. Now, having personally beheld God's all-redeeming plan of salvation in the flesh, in his arms, Simeon was, well, let's be honest, he was relieved. Joyfully relieved. But that's how we should feel when God, we see his promises coming true. It's relief. God says it would happen. It happened. Oh, that's good. That's good news. In fact, it's here that another assumption creeps into our understanding of the text. We're told that upon recognizing God's gospel promise in the flesh, Simeon took the Christ child in his arms and blessed, praised God, speaking the now familiar words of the Nunc Dimittis that we sing, especially in Divine Service 3, which is, I love that version. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Here's the thing. We assume that Simeon's gaze was upward, heavenward, you know, where God is. All the artwork throughout history depicts this heavenward gaze, Jesus down here while Simeon focused on God. And if you look at the picture we stuck on the front part of your bulletin, he's even doing it on that one. All the artwork throughout history depicts this gaze while Simeon is focused on God way out there. What if all those artists got it wrong? What if our assumptions are wrong? Folks, God is right there in his arms. That was the promise made to Simeon. When it says that Simeon praised God, who is to say that he didn't look directly into the eyes of God made flesh? Right there in his very arms and offer up praise to him. Makes sense. That's called faith. Just something to think about. But back to that wonderful confession of faith. That wonderful praise of God. Folks, it doesn't matter whether Simeon was 25 or 95. He was confessing the fact that he could now die perfectly happy and content, fully knowing and trusting that God is keeping his promise and actively saving his people from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He knew what was really important in terms of life and salvation, and he knew he was holding it right there in his very arms. That's faith. That's trust. That is not an age. That is the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter how old you are. Even in the apocryphal book, we heard a young man was received the Holy Spirit, and he confessed the faith. So how many of us can honestly lay claim to this, to a virtuous faith like that? Good things come to those who wait, right? We say that, we believe that God works all things for the good of his people, and yet, unlike Simeon, how many of us will patiently wait for God to work according to his timeline and his schedule? How often do you jump the gun and try to help God out or speed up the process? How often you live your lives like, my will be done, fully expecting God to bless and rubber stamp your selfish, impatient ways? That's when we say, thank God that he's the one who's patient. God is the one being patient with you. He is long-suffering. He's merciful. So my fellow redeemed, look here and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is your Lord in his word and his sacrament of body and blood in your midst, bringing you his eternal gift of salvation. Here is your Lord in the waters of holy baptism, baptizing you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, your name being written in the book of life. Like I said before, and I firmly believe, Simeon looked at Christ when he was praising God. Well, here's that same Christ. Here's the same Almighty God, right? Where he tells you to seek him and see him and receive him right under your nose. Just like with Simeon, here is the same Almighty God right where he promises to be, doing exactly what he promises to do, giving you his free gifts of mercy and grace. Here is God's gospel promise for you in your midst. Where do you look? Where does your faith look to and flee to when you're struggling, when you're waiting patiently or impatiently? As is more often the case. Or as you're waiting on God to act, to just do something. I think impatience often feels like a young person's game, doesn't it? It feels like something that young people are very impatient. And I used to jokingly say, and I still will from time to time, because I'm never going to give up on a good dad joke. When people say, I say, do you know the promise that God always keeps? Pray this, ask him for patience. And he says, it's been granted, now wait for it. Patience comes over time. Patience is a waiting. Patience is a time thing. When's it going to happen? I don't know. Hang on to what you've been given. Don't be so impatient to say, well, why isn't everything the way it should be now? I have made plans, God. It's like you didn't get the memo. But it turns out that even people who are older can be very impatient. It doesn't matter what your age is. That's why we believe little people can be faithful and old people can be unfaithful, Because it's not about your age. It's about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You ever get tired that your church is not moving with the times fast enough? You get tired that your church isn't saying the things you want it to say about this or that? And we say, well, we don't say that because we've never said that. Because God has never said that. Well, I just can't be on board. These guys over here, they're moving forward. Well, God has never moved in that direction, and so neither will I. It is my sincere hope and prayer that the good news of Jesus Christ isn't something that you think is different from age to age. That the good news that Jesus Christ is the same Jesus Christ who took on your flesh, was crucified and risen for the complete forgiveness of your sins, and who is the same Jesus Christ who is here with you even today. Now, you guys are sitting here, so you hear me say that. And hopefully, sitting here, you believe that. And we look and we see people that aren't sitting here and we're wondering, do they believe it? And they go, well, it's snowing. And we go, okay, what about the other 3 days? That's what we're dealing with. That is what the church is always dealing with. Not moving with the times, but being moved by the Lord. But being moved by the Holy Spirit to the same faith that these people from days gone by have enjoyed. There's nothing new that can be done better than what's already been done. I trust in you, Lord. I'm in your house. I trust in you, Lord. I love my neighbor. Jesus Christ is with you here today. Who is here with you always to the end of the age, he says. He's the one who fills your hearts and minds, filling you with faithful patience, joy, and peace, so that you may patiently, even joyfully, endure in faith as you bear your crosses, no matter how old you are. As you make your way through this dark and shadowy valley, the only light is Jesus that will light you on the right path. So today, as we read the what we call the Nunc Dimittis, as you have read it, I hope and pray that these wonderful words faithfully ring in your ears. That it's something that you can also sing along with Simeon. If we are bold enough to confess the truth, in fact, I hope and pray that these tremendous words of faithful patience and contentedness in our Lord's rich grace and forgiveness are in your hearts and on your lips every single day. For better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. These are words given at weddings because they're words that God gives to you, and this is what your relationship with Him looks like. And a marriage is a picture of Christ for His people. For better, for worse. For sickness, health. Richer, poorer. Always may your joy and peace and contentedness in your Lord be witness in what you say and do until that wonderful time when our Lord and Savior mercifully frees you from this veil of tears and calls you home to live with Him in eternal joy and peace. You are baptized. You have the Holy Spirit. You have witnessed the birth of Jesus Christ. You have looked upon the Lord. So now with Simeon, you can say, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, whenever that is. Is it tomorrow? Is it in 90 years? But let me depart in peace because I trust in your promises. Not because I'm such a great guy, but because you make promises to me. And I know you'll keep them so that when I do depart, whenever that is, it will be in peace. That I can lay down, close my eyes, and awaken with you. Until then, though, may this same faithfully patient joy and peace which surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.